few preachers in this country that I always really enjoy hearing, and this is one of them. Pastor Ron Boswell, pastor of Grove Avenue Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia, rapidly growing, wonderful evangelistic church. Prior to going to Grove Avenue Baptist Church, Dr. Boswell was the director of the Volunteers and Missions Department for the Foreign Mission Board. And then before that, he was a missionary of the Southern Baptist Convention in South Brazil from 1964 to 1980. While he was there, he served as director of evangelism for one of the states in Brazil, as well as serving in numerous churches there as pastor. He is a graduate of Wayland Baptist University in Plainview, Texas, so it tells you he has good roots to begin with. And then a graduate of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, he and his wife Marlene, who's here with us today, we're glad to have you, have three children, and sweetheart, they're ahead of us. They have eight grandchildren. We're only seven behind, if we can get somebody working on it. And so we are delighted today to have with us Pastor Ron Boswell. I want you to listen to Tom Dowler as he sings, and then with open heart and mind, to a message God has given today to our preacher, Ron Boswell.
Well, glory. That's the best singing I've heard in a long time. Thank you for inviting me here to be with you. I am in an unenviable position in that I'm a man of no reputation, so I don't have to make one today. Is that right? Amen? Amen? All right, let's just open the Word of God to Ephesians chapter 5, please, and hear the Word of God as it speaks to us. When I was called to preach here, I thought, you know, I don't think I need to be a preacher at the chapel among all these preachers, but I had rather preach to preachers than any other group in all the world, because our hearts are hungry for the Word of God. We want to hear from Him, and we want to know what He says, and we want to be able to say what He says to God's people. And so I made that protest to Dr. Patterson. I wish I'd heard his introduction before today. It would have calmed me down a whole lot. I said, "What can I give this group?" He said, "Just preach the Word." I said, "Well, there are a lot better guys that can do that than I do that. Get them." He said, "We've had them." "We've had them." And I said, "Paige, I've looked at that thing, that list of preachers you've got. Man, I'd go across the world to hear any of them. And what can I do? I don't think I can really perform well." He said, "Well, there's one thing you can do." I said, "What is it?" He said, "You can serve as a bad example." Oh, me, I can do that. The Word of God tells us about the life in Christ. It is a powerful life. Perfect rest, the Bible says, "I give you my rest." And yet we're not resting. Plentiful provision, "I'm always with you." And yet we chafe and strain and stretch ourselves and find that the perfect rest is not there. And much of our days, many of our days, are not spent on the mountaintops, but they're spent worrying about unpaid bills and changing diapers and trying to make ministry work and trying to get homework in between job assignments and trying to get that church going. And then the Word of God tells us that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. And yet we find out, don't you? Many of us, much of the time, find out that we're really not more than conquerors most of the time. And then Jesus says, "The things that you have seen me do, you know what? You're going to do those. And greater things than these shall you do." Why, Lord? How can I do that? "Because I'm going to be with my Father, which is in heaven." We don't find ourselves doing the greater things. And you and I believe this morning that this, and I'm not saying this for applause, I'm saying it because I know that it's true and I know that you know it's true, that God never, ever put anything in this book to tease us or to cajole us into thinking we could do something that we could never do or be something that we could never be. He never tells us, "Run the race," and then sticks his foot out to trip us. He doesn't do that. He tells us exactly the way it is from first page to the last page. And yet you and I read this and we preach this. And there are Sunday nights and Monday mornings that come along when what we know to be true theoretically and theologically is really not there practically and experientially in my life. And something's missing. And I think what is missing has been obscured. I think it's been obscured by perfectionism. There have been those who tell us, you can do it. You can stretch yourself. You can be good. You can be right. You can be holy. You can be true. You can be strong. You can be brave. If you just try hard enough and long enough, you can do that. But the Word of God says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Word of God tells me that that if we say we have no sin, then we're liars and the truth isn't in us. Because in my flesh, in my body, in Ron Boswell, dwells no good thing. Nothing, Lord, nothing. So that's gone. And then Pentecostalism comes along and says, no, it's the baptism of the Spirit, speaking in tongues and the fullness of the Spirit. And that's kind of confused us a little bit, and a lot of that's coming around. But what the Word of God does for us is to tell us exactly what God has for us to make us become what God wants to do through us. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 3 that the Spirit of God is changing us, is He not? He's remaking us and remolding us, and we are moving men and women from glory to glory as by the Spirit of God, and the final result of that is that we are being made conformable in the image of just like the Son of God, who is the Savior of the world. And you and I are under construction. God's working on us. Now look with me in Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll begin reading with verse 16. Ephesians 5, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So that's the life in Christ. And the secret is right here, guys and girls, and men and women and preachers and servants of God. It is an open secret. It is in the letter that God has written for us, that God has provided for us and will do within us everything that is necessary, everything that is essential to move us ahead, to move us up, to move us out, to give us power and to give us grace and to give us courage and to make us more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus said, you can do many things through Christ who strengthens you. No, didn't say that. I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I what? Live. Yet not I, say that with me. Not I don't live, it's not I. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet it is not I, but it is who? Christ. It's Christ. It's Christ who lives in me. And the same Lord that walked the shores of Galilee, and the same Lord that healed the sick and raised the dead and made the deaf hear and the lame walk and the dumb to speak, the same Lord Jesus who knew the Father's heart and knew the Father's will, and the same God, the same Lord who said, I always do what pleases Him. What I say, He told me to say. And why are you amazed at what I do? Because what I do by the strength of God my Father. And the Word of God tells me then that Christ in me is God's hope of glory. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then Paul comes along and says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the secret, guys and girls, men and women, servants of God. That's the secret. Do you know that? Do you know the fullness of the Spirit of God? There are two imperatives here. And four present subjunctives, present participles. The two imperatives are, don't be drunk with wine. And the second one is, be filled with the Spirit of God. Number one, don't be drunk with wine. Do I have to say that to this crowd here? To not go out and get inebriated? To not be found in that condition that the Word of God tells us that strong drink is raging? That we're not to touch the wine in the glass? Why then, Paul, do you use that as an illustration of the fullness of the Spirit of God? Because if you do that, and if you drive, and if you're stopped, you get a ticket for DUI, driving under the influence, or DWI, driving while intoxicated. That means that you're under the control of something else. Something else controls you. You're driving under the influence. And what Paul is saying is that, listen, preacher, if you don't want to be caught by that counselee and get in trouble, and if you don't want to bring disgrace to your church and break your wife's heart, if you don't want to get caught in that, you can't do that by yourself. You have to live under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. When you get up to preach the Word of God, you can't do that by yourself. This is God's Word, and it is God's Spirit that taught you, and God's Spirit that will apply that to the people you preach to. You cannot do that by yourself. And in that business conference, when you get up and you feel like somebody has hit you, have you ever seen a football game where a linebacker, where a tight a wide receiver goes up for a pass? He's way up in the air, catches that ball, and then all of a sudden, something hits him in the back, and it is a defender, and his helmet is in the back of that wide receiver, and he turns three flips and lands on his head. Have you ever felt like that in a business conference? Say amen. Sure you have. What keeps you from losing your cool? What gives you the love of God for that person that comes into your life with claws bared and is after you? What is it that sends you into highways and byways, knocking on doors and getting them slammed in your face, and keep on and keep on and keep on? What does that for you? It's Christ in you. It's Christ in you. You don't want to do that. You can't do that. You'll never make it by yourself. And so Paul says, don't be drunk with wine. Don't live under the influence of that. But listen, live under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. The imperative is, don't be drunk with wine, but it is to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, it is not only the two imperatives, but you have the four present participles. They told me to do an exegetical message. I want you to know, if you don't recognize that, that's what it is. Okay? All right. Amen? All right, here's number one. Here's the first present participle. Here it is. It is in the imperative mood. It's obligatory. It's obligatory. It's in the imperative mood. He's not making a request from you, folks. He's not making a suggestion. My boys, my firstborn is pastor of a church in Dallas. Our second born son now has been called as associate pastor of a church in Fort Worth. And those two boys, I would say to them, son, I'd like for you to clean your room. Or, son, I'd like for you to be in by 10 o'clock. And I would go to that room, and that room would not be cleaned. And they would get in at 11 o'clock. And I'd say to those boys, sons, didn't I tell you to clean your room? Didn't I tell you to get in by a certain time? Oh, no, Dad, you didn't tell us. You said, I'd rather you do that. And I said to them, gracefully, warmly, kindly, with great patience, just do it! And they said, oh, Dad, we didn't understand. Sure we will. In an elevator in New York City, a man got on with two very ferocious-looking Dobermans. The elevator was crowded. When the door closed, he said, sit! And everybody on the elevator sat down. And he said, no, I meant the dogs. Now listen, do you and I understand about commands? Do we understand about God's commands? He's the commander-in-chief. Now, that's not up for grabs. I don't dialogue with him about that. I don't debate with him about that. I don't discuss this with God. When the Word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, I believe. That's eternal life. When the Word of God says, be filled with the Spirit of God, that's abundant life. And John 10:10 says, I've come that they might have what? Life. And that more abundantly. And so this command from the Apostle Paul is obligatory. It's in the imperative. And then the second is that it is plural. It is plural. Brother Pastor, I preach this in my church every year at Grove Avenue because I believe with all my heart this is the engine that runs the church. This is the fuel that fuels the furnace. You can't, Paul doesn't have any direction without that. He said, I tried to go this way and the Spirit wouldn't let me. And I tried to go this way and the Spirit wouldn't let me. And I tried to go here and the Spirit wouldn't. And then he said, the Spirit of God led me in this direction and there was success. And Peter can't preach without the fullness of the Spirit of God. When Peter gets up to preach, unlearned and ignorant fishermen, he is the spokesman of God himself. And so it's plural. It is all of us, not just for preachers. Preach this to your people. Talk to your people about this. Teach this in your church. Every person in the body of Christ must be, every one of us, no exceptions, no holdouts, no hangouts, no peripheral people, every one of them must be filled with the Spirit of God, because the fruit of the Spirit is what motivates us, is what manages us. Without the fullness of the Spirit of God, there's no love, joy, peace, meekness, long-suffering, gentleness, mercy. Do you think you produce that? Do you think you can manufacture that? Can you work up love for somebody who's unlovely? Is there peace in your family? Are the rivers of God flowing out of your spirit and out of your soul? It's not external, it's internal. It's not from the outside, it's from the inside. And when you get up in the morning and brush your teeth, you do that, don't you? Every morning, nod your head. Thank you. When you squeeze that toothpaste tube, what comes out? Profound. Toothpaste. Why? Because that's what's in it. And when you get squeezed in your life and squeezed in your ministry and you get hit and you get hurt and you get harassed and hassled and jostled, what comes out of you is what is in you. If you've only seen raisins all your life and somebody tells you, those are grapes, and you think they are, and then you go to the grocery store one day, and in the fruit section you see something big and round and plump and red, and you ask the grocer, what is that? Well, those are grapes. Oh no, those are not grapes. I know what grapes look like. They're shriveled up. They're pruny looking. They're wrinkled. They're small. Now, men and women, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you're like a raisin. And you think that's normal. Old Vance Havner used to say, we're so subnormal, if we ever got normal, people would think we were abnormal. And that's true. Listen. Now listen to me. Listen. Every word in the Word is operable. It's doable. It's practical. It's everyday. And it's for all of us. Every single one of us. The most sickly saint in your church can become a giant for God, filled with the Spirit of God. Now, thirdly, it's not only imperative and plural, but it's in the passive voice. It's in the passive voice. Do you know what that means? That means that God is the operator. The active element in that is not you. You're not the one that's active in that. You don't do that. You don't accomplish that. What the Word of God says is, listen, allow yourself to be filled with the Spirit of God. Let Him do that. He gave us the best He had. He gave us His Son. And if you ask for a loaf of bread, will God give you a serpent? If you ask for food, will He give you a rock? No, He won't. Why is that? Why, that's diminishing returns. When He's given you the best that He had, the very highest and the holiest, why would not God give the Holy Spirit to them that what? Ask Him. To them that what? Ask Him. That's what you do. You don't work it up. You don't work it down. You don't work it through. You just ask God, dear God, I'm empty and I'm hurt and I need healing and I need help. And I need filling, Lord, to do what I need to do and to be what I ought to be. Dear God in heaven, you have it. Give it to me and open yourself to Him. And let God fill you with His Spirit. There's nothing eerie about that. Nothing ethereal. It's not, woo, 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 you know, nothing's going to. No, you know, it's not. Who is He? Who? Why, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's the gentle Jesus. Is He going to do something weird? No, He's not. Something wild and woolly? No, He's not. What's He going to do?
He's going to show you the things of God. He's going to be your paraclete. He's going to be your professor. He's going to be your teacher, your protector, your inspirer, your instigator. He's going to be the convictor of your heart in life. And life is going to be different when the Spirit of God fills you. Lastly, it's in the present tense. It's in the present tense. It's do it now. Do it now. Be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It's not the baptism of the Spirit. You and I understand that, don't we? The baptism of the Holy Spirit comes when you come to Jesus. When Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the fairest of 10,000, when God's Son becomes your Savior, you were dead in trespasses and sin, and the wages of that sin was death. You didn't wait to die. You were already dead. You were waiting to live. And then when Christ came in, the life of God moved into your heart and into your life. He quickened you who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. That's when He soaked you and filled you and took control. That's when you became under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. And so it's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's not repeated baptism. I thought that for a long time until I saw this. Do you know that? It's not to be filled today and then again to go back and be filled again and then to go back and be filled again. It is present, it's continuous. There's an aorist form. When Jesus said to those slaves, to those diaconi, the deacons, the servants in John's gospel, fill the water pots with water. And they what? Filled them. That's aorist. That's completed action. This is not completed action. It's not a baptism. It's not repeated baptisms. It is a continuous, continual fullness every day of your life. All the time. Be ye constantly, continuously, always, everywhere, in every circumstance, in every situation, be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. I cannot recall now where it's found when Simon Peter responded so gloriously to our Lord, "Who do men say that I am?" And that wonderfully inspired, brilliant response about who He is. Just a few verses down, just a few verses down, Jesus says, "I'm going to Jerusalem to die." And the same man, the one that was inspired, the one whose answer superseded anything he'd heard or known but came directly from God, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven." The same man said, when Jesus said, "I'm going to die," he said, "No, you're not. I'm not going to let you die." And Jesus turned to him and said, "Get your hands off of me, Satan. You don't know the things of God." Who was that? That was Simon Peter. Two verses later, three verses later. And so you and I know that, don't we? Don't we know that? Don't we know that once won't do it? Two or three times won't do it? It has to be a continuous, constant filling of the Holy Spirit. Brother Ron, what's your invitation? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Here it is. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you," what? "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God." That's your reasonable service, that you may prove what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. I was 5 years in Brazil before I understood this. And then one day, I was invited to be the inspirational speaker at the South Brazil Mission Meeting. About 200 missionaries. And I was a hotshot, burnt up the road missionary with all kinds of amoebic dysentery and all kinds of other things. And I thought my consecration and commitment was measured by the miles I put on that Jeep and the number of nights I spent in a hammock.
The times my stomach heaved and my bowels groaned, and I thought 2 or 3 weeks away from home was just normal stuff, out in the jungles, out in the highways and byways of Brazil. And I was tired, and I was discouraged, and I was hurt. And Marlene and I were having some problems at home because I was an absentee daddy and not the right kind of husband. Because what I was doing, listen to me, this hurts, and it hurt. I was doing in the flesh and not in the spirit. Now, God can hit a good lick with a crooked stick. Now, you know that, don't you? Because some of you are crooked sticks that God's using. And then they invited me to be the speaker for the South Brazil Mission Meeting, and I knew that I didn't have in me what it took. And I knew that a lot of them were as tired as I was. A lot of my missionary colleagues were just as discouraged, just as sick, and had the husband and the wife both decided, they would have gone home, but usually it's one or the other. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to preach to them? They don't know me. They think I'm a good missionary. And I said, well, I'll preach from Jonah. Because I saw who I was and who Jonah was. And in the belly of that whale, he said, nobody knows where I am. I'll never see the temple again. I'll never see the face of God again. And then it moves down to where he says, I know this is true. I know that I'm lost. I know that I can't do anything. I can't help myself. I can't get out of this. I'm here because of what I did. This is not God's fault. And then he said, but salvation is of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. In excelsis Deo. And when I read that, I said, that's it. I can't do it. I never could. If I could, then why did he die and rise again? Why does he live in my heart, in my life, except to do the Father's will? And on my face in a little maid's room at Belo Horizonte, Minas Gerais, I got on my face and I said, Father, I'm through. I'm dead. I'm worn out and I'm tired. And I can't do this anymore. Have you ever heard God speak to you? It's not an audible voice. It's a lot louder than that. And in my spirit, God said, are you sure? Are you sure? Lord, I'm sure. Good, missionary. Then will you let me do it? Amen? And I said, Lord, I will. And from that day until this day, there have been mountaintops, valleys, and sunny days and cloudy days, but never a day that I don't understand who is in charge, who is the power source, who is the Lord, who do I serve, who do I please. And if I'm going to do it, I must do it in and by His Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine. That's excess. Not the amount of wine you drink, that's not excess, but the excess is in what happens when you're filled with wine. You become abnormal. When you are filled with the Spirit of God, you become super normal. Father, thank you for these moments together. And help us, Lord, to see rivers of living water flow out of us, not to ask for it to come down, are to come in, because He is already there. He's there. He told us if we didn't have the Spirit, we were not His. So He's there, Father. Lord, there are men and women in this congregation today who need to let Him out, need to quit striving, give up the stress and the strain and the struggle, and relax. And allow the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose and revived, to be Lord of their lives. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen.
Thank you so much, Ron Boswell, for coming to be with us today, and a wonderful challenge to be filled with the Spirit, exactly what we need to do. So let's leave today, committing ourselves thusly. We'll see you back tomorrow. Dr. Boswell will be down here at the front for a few moments to speak to you. If you want to come by and just say you've touched the pastor, Grove Avenue Baptist Church, he'll be right here to see you. Thank you so much, and you're dismissed.